This is the March 23 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kirk Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. From agtrader.com, Merrill Crowley is here. And we're also joined by Wayne Nelson of agmarket.net. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, or check us out in your favorite podcast application. Just search for Commodity Week. Let's begin with the fall off in prices, Kirk Kimmel, that was led, I suppose, by wheat and then corn, and finally this week, soybean. It has been an ugly month of March, and I suppose part of February, too.
Yeah, it's like it. Feels like we've been dry for 2 months. It's 4th of July, and all of a sudden we get a 4 or 5 inch rain. Kaboosh. Fundamentally, it's kind of hard to imagine this magnitude of a sell-off. You know, ideas were we would go lower, but not this fast this time of year and so forth. But yes, the soybean complex, one, Brazil's actively harvesting. They're at a substantial discount to the U.S. beans. There's talk of importing beans into the southeast in that Wilmington area. That's really nothing new. They do that every once in a while, 50 million metric tons or whatever. Then, two, just lower world vegetable oil markets. And so this bean oil's been put on hold, too. Overall, the technical picture did a lot of damage, a lot of commodity funds selling this week. Those November beans went right down that price gap at $12.69 and a quarter and went on lower from there. So the trend's down, it's oversold, and ideas are we could probably drift lower here until we get some type of turnaround.
I know, Merrill, that you watch the technicals pretty closely. What are the things that you have been keeping an eye on, and what have the soybeans, the corn, and the wheat managed to go through on the downside?
Well, like I said at the Beef House, we were looking to see if meal would support to help beans. The other thing we were looking at was the progress in the weather in Brazil and how that was going to work. You also have just the typical year after a crop loss, prices tend to go down and they tend to have an early peak. I'm not saying it's over, but if you looked at 2009, when we had a similar situation in the macro markets with we didn't bank problems and housing problems and the economy dropping, we saw the market then drop almost 50% from about 630 down to about 340, something like that, from the August high down into a February low at that particular year. So far, we dropped about 30%. And the wheat's just going for the bottoms. We have one of the tightest situations with a Chicago wheat, a July Chicago wheat, July Chicago or July corn spread. So, and the only one that's staying well right now is there's still a fairly wide spread between Kansas City and the corn, the Chicago corn. That's keeping a lot of this wheat from being sold as feed wheat yet. But if that price keeps deteriorating, that's going to get worse. On the corn, the May contract actually had an inverted head and shoulders. We tried to break that neckline today. We failed. Now, if we break the right side of that, the corn's going to drop down. I believe it's right around $6. Beans, they're going for the low that we had back in July, and I think the corn may do the same, but corn has a lot more distance to go, and it's still being supported by the weather questions concerning what sort of crop the Brazilians are going to have because, you know, 10 to 30% is planted in a, what do you call it, not prime time, be kind of like our June or later.
Speaking of that seasonal kind of function in the marketplace, I'm wondering, because if we go back to 05 to 10, not until about 15 or so, we really hadn't thought so much about having two seasons. For growing season, that is, for the soybeans. In the United States, when we get to 50% done, we feel the market get a little lift out of it. That's because what it needs has been pushed through the market. On the flip side, out of Brazil, it takes such a very long time to get from the field to the port. I think there's some lag time. Is there a fundamental seasonal that we might look for that could, one, either give us some kind of bottom to look at this point and maybe a lift in the marketplace? I'm just looking for something, Wayne, that might be better news than not.
Well, I think the one thing that we are looking that could be a little bit positive is, Todd, right now they don't have enough room to store their crop. Their basis level is way cheaper than ours. I mean, you know, it's a very cheap bid to the farmer. They have no place to put it. You know, if we can get to this point where they've moved through, harvest is over and it's all put away, I think you'll see the basis level start to come up, because then the Brazilian farmer, he's got a place to store it. He can hold it a little bit like that. But as long as it's readily available and there is no place for them to go but to the exporting market, it's going to stay cheap like this. You know, the one thing that we look at here along the way, you know, is it's just the wrong time of year basically to do this. Now, wheat generally trails off through the month of March, and then first of April starts to make a little bit of recovery. We have trailed off rather than trailed up on this wheat market, and the wheat has led the way down in many cases. But the big thing is Russia had a great big crop. Russia is selling wheat hand over fist, cheap as can be, just to get money for the war. I mean, and they're running and shipping as much out as they can. And they've been a big burden on our wheat market coming in here. You know, the beans had sort of held in there until today. We had one big non-commercial fund trader that was really caught wrong. And when he went to liquidate today, that's when we went down 25, 27, 8 cents through the day like that. And that was just plain liquidation, because their fund was just at the point where the rules say they had to liquidate some stuff. Now, we've got the numbers coming up here, you know, for how many acres we're going to plant, try and talk about that, talk about some of the carry out and stuff we're looking at. You know, we are looking ahead to what a big crop to be planted and to look at things. In one respect, you look at, though, and everything's screwed up. We have an inverse on prices. Why are we, in parts of the West, are we still a dollar over the board for corn? Why are we 60 cents over in Nebraska for ethanol? We look at the board, every front month is higher than down the road. Now, that's when it's a demand market, and we should have something going really good. But here we are. We're in a free fall in a demand market.
Well, I was going to add, that's an excellent point. I was going to ask a question, Kurt, as a follow-up to this, thinking about the glut that's coming into the marketplace and why that's caused. No doubt that the South Americans have an enormous soybean crop on hand. Argentina and Brazil combined, though Argentina has been really tough. But it's having to come to market very quickly. Can this dissipate pretty quickly as well, and then come back to some kind of level that producers in the United States would feel comfortable with as it's related to their input costs?
Well, that's going to be the challenge moving forward here. Once harvest is wrapped up, yeah, you can see some seasonality of some type of recovery. Now, a lot of those beans are going to go into Argentina. Argentina is just totally wiped out, so that's going to take a little bit of the pressure off there. Now, if you look at the seasonals, 15-year seasonal chart by more research, they've got some seasonality lows here on the future prices towards the end of March, first of April. So hopefully we'll get this selling pressure out of the way, this hedge pressure out of the way, and make way to look at something fresh and new. Probably what we got to focus on once we get through the plantings intentions report and the stock screen report is the weather forecast. We're just saturated. If you go back a year ago, we were starting to do field work. We had some corn go in first part of April. Then there was a big pause. So the focus is going to shift to the weather here, and also to see if China continues to pick up some U.S. corn in here. Seasonally, corn picks up on demand. That's done that. Seasonally, beans slack off. They've done that. So I think we're just going through a seasonality in through here, pricing the fundamentals in. As Wayne's mentioned there, we had one large fund liquidate, and that just aggravated the downside move.
Merrill, last week, of course, in the corn market, things were lifted or felt better because of the Chinese purchases 4 days in a row. What did we find out this week about those announced sales, and what are you looking forward to from them in the future?
Interestingly, if you look at a chart of exports and you compare this year to the last 2 years, you're going to find that we're actually on the low side, even below the five-year average for exports on corn, even with the current Chinese purchases. So we're going to have to see more demand come from China. And my personal opinion on that is China is just coming in and making sure they have corn. Because, like I said, we're pushing a lot of the planted safrinha corn into the quote-unquote danger zone. And I think right now they're just making certain they have corn for use and for their hogs. And I think if Brazil comes through with the corn, we could see those get canceled. You were looking for something along the lines of bullish, and I'm going to put this in there. Cycle lows due between 228 and 430. Now, you say, okay, that's way off. 49 and 36 week, if you use a 10% type of fluctuation, which many people do looking at cycle lows, it could come any time. And the only event right now I see is the cycle low due, well, the stocks and the acreage anticipation coming due, that would be something to drive us higher.
Cycle lows easier to hit than actually a top in the marketplace because they tend to come more regularly spaced. That's why we go by weeks and months and years, I take it.
Yeah, if you just go back to those July lows and count out, it's a perfect storm here for 8 to 9 month low. Even weekly in here, the 8 to 9 week low, we could be off just a little bit on that. But two, last summer we bottomed on 7/22/22. That's July 22nd of the year 2022. Today is 3/23/23. So maybe some voodoo can come in here and see some type of short covering or stability for a change.
We'll have voodoo.
Well, we sure hope so. I mean, we're ready for a little bit of rally here. We'd like to see things turn around a little bit. But the one thing we haven't talked about and mentioned, and it's the big craziness in the room, is the way that we're handling this banking system and the way that everything's going on. What is insured? What isn't insured? Why is this bank insured for millions of dollars and this one only $250,000? And still the feeling out there, the unrest and what's going on and what are interest rates going to do and is money going to be available to some of these people for finance things. We're going to see a lot tighter, the banks being a lot tighter besides being a lot higher interest rates than what everybody's been paying along the line too. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there along the way. The farmer, you know, one of the things we look at here, it's costing him something to hold this grain if he's paying 8% on his money now compared to the 1% or 2% he was paying just a little over a year ago. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that are happening out there, and I think we're going to see a little different marketing patterns as to whether we'll come out or look at things right away to move things a little quicker because it's costing us to hold it. Before, you left it in the bin, you got it there. I think that that's one of the things that's really upsetting this market and globally is to know what's going to be going on.
Today is a celebration for bears across the world. So that's one of the reasons why we're down so hard today. We're celebrating bears.
We're celebrating just the bear across the world. Interesting.
Dave Dickens thinks.
I did not know that.
But if you'd listened to Dave Dickey over the years when he had what it was for that day that he recorded for a year and a half ahead, I think I can remember back to the day of the bear, but I don't remember what the market was down.
Yeah, we did. We had this day in ag history, and I'd forgotten that because I'd run those all the time about the day of the bear. Interestingly enough, are you of a mind then that we found a bottom on this day, potentially?
No, no sign of a bottom. I did see one guy say something about higher high and higher lows for, it was Kansas City, Minneapolis wheat, and corn. Now, you got to be careful because sometimes you get a three-wave correction, and that can give you a higher high and higher low, or if you're going down, the opposite. So, but yeah, there's no real reversal here. I'm looking for cycle lows. I'm not going to try to do anything until I get a day that gives me a reversal where I can have the parameters that I want to buy with a known risk factor to it.
So the next day that we might have reversal, there could be all kinds of things, but the next day we know about Kirk Kimmel is Friday of not this week, which would be on this program the day it airs, or more likely Friday of next week when we get the USDA reports. We have a grain stocks figure that's due out. We also have the acreage report, which is due out. Can either of those give the market something that would be friendly or bullish to hang its hat on?
Well, the trade expectations are out there, so it'd have to be outside the trade expectation ranges. Then on the other side of the thought process is we're going down into that report. We've actually probably priced a lot of bearish news into it. Then we can probably, you know, they sold the rumor, then turn around and buy the facts. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen. But the acres report and the stocks report, that's pretty huge. I think that's why we're seeing the bull spread continue to work in the corn. I believe the corn stocks are going to be quite tighter than what the trade's looking for. Then these and the new crops kind of lagging a little bit in expectations that that corn acreage number could be up over 91 million acres. Favorable weather's going to be hard for new crop to gain much traction.
You know, agmarket.net put their numbers out, Todd. We're guessing corn acres are going to be 91.35. The outlook was 91, and the USDA last year was 88.57. The bean number, we're at 87.9, and that the outlook was 87.5. So we've got a little more acreage coming into things with the idea that a lot of these farmers, they had some prevent plant and things last year, and they've got a lot of money aside, and they like to grow corn, and all the prices are dropping, and your fertilizer, your chemicals, and a few things coming into it. So that a few extra acres, we're thinking they might go out there on these. So, you know, will that come to fruition or not? I don't know. I think that, you know, if we remember back to the beef house, remember we said first part of April wasn't going to get much planting done, as Mr. Snodgrass said.
Anything to add about the acreage numbers or the grain stocks report? I do have some questions about it, especially based on consumption when you have avian influenza in the United States, flocks still being decimated, a very, very short size, that is, beef animal system herd in the United States as well. So none of those consuming as much grain as maybe we thought.
I think the big question mark is going to be, what are we going to do with wheat that's going to be abandoned out west? Are we going to plant corn there or beans there? Stocks-wise, I read where 85% of the farmers are sold out on their old crop beans. And I want to say 65 to 75% is the rough estimates for how much old corn has been sold. So this, the fact that we only have 15% of our beans left, tends to be a bullish sign. And as Wayne pointed out early, you know, we got these bull spreads working. So anytime you have a year following a drought, you have some pretty significant drops in price, but then you tend to work more sideways as you go into summer. And I think, as I said at the beef house, if you, your last chance to get higher prices is going to be probably in the summer with whatever weather scare we get. Now, with the tightness that we have, I think that'd be a pretty good pop, but you got to be prepared.
You agree?
Yeah, it's going to be quite of a marketing challenge here as we move forward. The thing to remember is, if you look at a long-term monthly chart, whenever you see these up moves over 1, 2, 3 years, that's usually about it, and you come right back down. So past history shows there is some price risk to the downside. There's little things in here that can happen to give us some retracements, bounce back up. I think you got to have some type of plan and have some working orders above the market to get a little bit more of these hedges in place to protect your downside.
So let's talk about some of those. What can a producer do if they're not already far enough priced or not priced at all to make sure that they've got inputs that were higher costs last fall already covered in this marketplace?
Well, you're talking about the inputs. Well, they have went down if they're adding extra acres, but they've already priced those and they're coming on in. There's not much you can do about them. I mean, you know, if you bought fertilizer at $1,000 a ton, even if it's $800 a ton now, that's there. We got to look at things. We had one guy today, instead of selling calls, he was selling puts. He could sell an at-the-money December put in corn and collect 77 cents. And he doesn't think it's going to go down that far, but he thinks he can maybe make 50 cents back on that put like that. Will he? Will he not? I think there's a good chance, because most all of the people out here now are the market advisory people. I'm seeing buy stops above the market on some of their hedges to take them off. They're looking at their charts and looking at a lot of things. We're seeing two of the major people that do put out advisory things like that. They're saying this is no time to sell. It's time to put a stop on some of the stuff you already sold and maybe sell some puts at this point in time.
Yeah, I wish I could. I should. I would have. When the market goes down, you don't have enough sold. When the market goes up, you always have too much sold. But right now, we're in the catch-up marketing phase of it. You know, there was some advice in the back, but we got to look forward in through here. If you're nervous about the market moving on lower, I think you'd pick out a real cheap price floor for crash insurance practices. The other observation that we've seen guys do here is come in and sell some December $6 corn calls for 25, 26 cents a bushel. That's a margeable position. If the market goes up, you'll be a margin call, but the strategy is we'll do it, hope it's wrong. If we go to $6, we'll convert those to cash sales.
The crop insurance number figure for corn is $5.91, if I remember correctly. Producers likely to see that price tag at their elevator again very soon, do you suppose?
At the very least, what I'm looking at with the charts, I think we're in kind of a wave three. You should have a wave four. How far is that going to go? But it could give you another chance at pricing some grain above the market. Because if you look at these corn at 550 and you've got to sell in December and take 30 cents basis off that, that's not, if it is profitable, it ain't very profitable.
So producers have a lot of work to do between now and harvest time to make sure that they're profitable. And it's not going to be easy to do. They just have to have a plan in place, I take it.
That's what I've been trying to get at. The other thing is usually when you come off of a short crop year, the weather's fine. We got El Nino. That should provide us a better marketing. That should provide us with better weather for better yields. So that'll help offset the price problems as well.
In the last week, the soybean corn ratio, how much has it changed? Do we know? And what difference does that make at this point in time?
Well, the ratio was 2.4 back, I think, during the All Ag Day outlook. It's 2.28 right now. So it's still favoring corn.
Does that mean when we get to this acreage report at the end of the month that there will be some, although they've already reported to the USDA what their expectations are, might put more corn acres in even still?
Well, That's a tough one, because basically these are still intentions, and guys were still zigging and zagging in through here. But that's why the ag market team has come up with a little higher corn estimate, 91.3 million acres. Just the idea the larger guys were able to get substantial discount on some of these input costs in the fringier areas, and that's what's driving it up. But you got to remember, though, we've got 4 or 5 foot snowpack up in the northern areas, and the weather's still not real conducive here, warming up and melting that snow, and it's going to be wet, soggy. And so what's North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota going to do if they're coming down to the end here on planting decisions?
I think there could be some more corn acres. First off, the guys that are going to add corn acres, they didn't buy fertilizer for those acres. It's going to be cheaper to put it out. Number two, farmers like to grow corn. Number three, they have thought, and it's been proven, and we talked about it at the All Day Outlook meeting, that beans should be planted first and earlier. If we have this wet weather, we have the snowpack coming off, beans aren't going to get planted early where they could get their extremely good yields. Corn will still have plenty of time to get top yields, and we've got some really good corn yields have been coming off some of these, especially with added moisture coming in. I think they're going to go for the bushels. They're going to plant more corn rather than the beans because, number one, lower input costs and the idea that they're going to make it up in bushels.
Well, your spring weather is basically forecast to be wet. We had some pretty good progress for down south, but ever since that time, they've been getting rains. So that's got to be pushing them back on their planning, just like Kurt and Wayne have talked about with the, it's the highest snowpack they've ever had coming into a spring in the Dakotas. And that is directly correlated to prevent planted acres. And the other side, you know, so if, even though they like to plant corn, if it's too wet, we might be switching to beans. If we get 91 acres of corn and we don't get the beans, then you definitely are seeing, going to see a low in beans.
The certain weather source I follow has been in publication over 200 years. Basically, clear back last fall suggested a wet spring, and that's coming true. But if you want to be a weather buff, the moisture is going to shut off 1st of August. So you're going to have to wait till the 1st of August to dry out.
Let's get a final word now from each of you. We'll start with Wayne Nelson at agmarket.net out of New Market, Indiana.
Well, it's been a really depressing month so far with the way the markets have acted and treated most of us. But I think along the way, there's a little bit better things going to happen. I think there's going to be some opportunities to look at this too. Maybe see a little bit of a bounce when a couple of things happen. We don't know what they're going to be, but there's some things out there that's just going to come along. And I think that we're going to look at, there's going to be a weather event. There's going to be something happen. And I think we'll get a little bump out there. Now, and in saying that, we need to be ready to sell some stuff when it gets back up closer to $6. I think $5.70 to $5.80 is a spot we ought to have some orders in and be willing to take it. We're not saying $6.50, but we're saying, I think we can see some things that'll take us back to profitable. You know, I read quite a few different news wires, things that are going on. And I think that everybody said this is not the time to panic and sell out of those guys. Generally, all of them aren't wrong. You know, we can hit one or two when they were split up. But I think it's telling us we're going to get at least one more chance to sell this crop at a profit.
Merrill Crowley from AgTraderTalk.com out of Watseka, Illinois.
You get usually two, maybe three chances for another high during these types of years. And instead of being depressed with the prices, take this as a warning shot across the bow. We need to be prepared. You need to get your figures together so that you can come up with places to price. And then you need to be willing to be flexible, because the other part of the forecast after being wet, and I know Kurt said August 1st, they are talking about a warm June, July. And even if that doesn't hurt our crop with the tight situation we have in the U.S., can you imagine how much that'll push prices?
And Kurt Kimmel from agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois.
Yeah, I think Wayne and Merrill both hit the nail on the head in through here. I think we've got some downside risk, but there's going to be some opportunities. I think you got to take advantage of the opportunity, because the bottom line is market doesn't care what your break even is. And that's a plain example of it this past week. And we can go much lower if the market wants to go much lower, but I think that's going to create opportunities. And I think you got to be in a good financial position next year, because if this thing doesn't turn around, I think you're going to have opportunity to buy some farms and buy some machinery.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You may always find us online. Listen to us on demand. Just play it from the website at willag.org, willag.org, or look it up in your favorite podcast application. You can find Commodity Week in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, on NPR One, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many, many other places. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.